Page 195, Philippians chapter 3, and I shall be starting midway through verse 4. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
And for the second reading, we turn back to Psalm 27 on page 514 in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 27, and Andrew has read to us verses 1 to 3. Which is what he was speaking on last week, and so we pick up in verse 4 now. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep the Bible open there and let's bow our heads for a prayer. Your face, Lord, do we seek. We pray that this one thing might have a clearer place in our hearts. Help us to want more, to know you. Amen. What do you do when you're under attack? Andrew was speaking last week about different ways in which we might be feeling under attack. People we may be afraid of, things that we might be finding difficult. When you're feeling under attack, do you fight back? Do you give up? Do you carry on regardless? Well, last week we saw in verses 1 to 3, there's no reason to be afraid. At the end of verse 1, the Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So there's no need for fear. And if the Lord is the stronghold, then the obvious response when we're feeling under attack is to go to the stronghold. People living in an area out in unprotected rural places in Israel would have gone to the stronghold, the fortified city on top of the hill when the enemies were coming, go to the safe place. And in these verses that we're focusing on this evening, David focuses on that safe place. The one thing that he wants is there in verse 4. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Well, on a superficial reading, we might think there are actually three things there. Live in the house of the Lord, see the beauty of the Lord, inquire in his temple. But actually, they're one and the same thing. He's saying, the one thing I want when I'm feeling under attack and I'm running to that safe place, or in the rest of my life anyway, at all times, so that I'm safe and ready for the difficult time to come, the one thing is to know God. To live in his house. Well, in Old Testament times, God's house was the temple built by David's son, Solomon, in Jerusalem. But David's writing before that, and before that there was the tabernacle, the kind of tent that God had had as a special meeting place with his people, a place to symbolize God's presence ever since the Exodus. Maybe David is thinking specifically about the tabernacle and the way things there are a pointer to heaven and God's real dwelling place in heaven. But I think really he's not speaking literally. He's not saying, I want to become a priest or a Levite, those people who had the special privilege because of their ancestry to live in the temple precincts, to have a full-time job of temple service. He isn't really saying that's what he wants to do. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's saying, metaphorically, he wants to be in God's house because he wants to be in God's presence. He wants to be with God. He wants to know God better, to see his face. We can't actually see God's face. God is spirit and his face is revealed in Jesus. But for us who weren't around at the time, and David who wasn't around at the time when Jesus was on earth in the flesh, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to see the beauty of his face, is not talking about a literal face, but is talking about knowing him better. When we see the face of someone we love, it's not just the seeing it, it's the knowing the person that's the important thing for us. So his one desire is to know God better. I don't know how many desires you and I have. We have lots of desires, don't we? There are lots of different things that we want and that we think about and that our hearts are set on different levels. So we can want to know God better. We can want to do well in our exams. We can want to get a good job. We can want to get a nice house. We can want to marry a certain person. We can want things for our children and our grandchildren. We can want good things, we can want sinful things. But our hearts are divided between many things. Multitasking is something that people have divided opinions about. Is it a good thing to be able to multitask? Well, ladies, what do you think? Is it, hands up if you think it's a good thing to multitask. And hands down, men, hands up if you think it's a good thing to multitask. Two do. Okay, thank you. Well, it certainly can be very useful
But it can also make us less effective in certain things, because even though there can be great disadvantages in being so focused that you can't hear somebody speaking to you, there can be real advantages as well in focusing on one thing and giving your full attention to one thing and being highly effective in that one thing. Well, David here is saying that he is single-minded in wanting to know God. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. It's knowing God. Can we say that about our own hearts, that that's the one thing we want? Yes, of course, on other levels there'll be other things that we want as well, but is the one overriding thing to know God? Well, it should be. It was for David, and he was a man after the Lord's own heart. And knowing God is so good that everything else pales into insignificance. God is for David this safe place, this stronghold in verse 1. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And so in verse 5, he says, he, the Lord, will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. There's the safe place, the shelter, the high rock, the fortified place to be safe from the enemies. What is the day of trouble? Is it the enemy invasion? I was reading John Stott on this passage, and he was commenting that the shelter is protection from the hot sun, and the high rock is a safe place when the flood comes. So when the waters are rising, you want your house to be on high ground, on a high rock, to be safe from floods. And I was thinking about that in the Bible, quite often, both the hot sun and the flood can be pictures of God's judgment. And so, is David thinking about the day of trouble as coming not just from his enemies, but from God? That may be a strange thought to us, but it's something in the morning last Sunday we were thinking about, where Paul had written about his thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, which was given to him by God. So it's both from the enemy and from God, because God was working his good purpose through that. So might the sun and the flood be signs of God's judgment, and the place to be safe from God's judgment is where? Where is it that we can both meet God, seek his face, and be protected from him, from his judgment, and from our enemies? Well, for David, it was the place of God's house, the temple or tabernacle, where sacrifices were made, the different types of sacrifice, where animals are killed in a guilt offering and a sin offering to take away the guilt of the worshipper. His guilt is transferred onto the animal, and the animal is killed as a substitute. Well, the safe place for us is the fulfillment of that, that those animal sacrifices were a picture pointing forward to God's one perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross, where God's love and mercy and his wrath, his judgment, meet, because the judgment fell on Jesus as our substitute. And so going to the cross is for us the place where we can meet with God and we can be saved from God, from God's punishment, God's justice, his judgment, because his justice is fulfilled in the cross of the Lord Jesus. And so as we have a communion service this evening and we're taking bread and wine to remind us of Jesus' death for us, it's an opportunity for us to focus on how we meet with God through the death of Jesus. This is the place where we can behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. And so if this is to be our attitude, that the one thing we want is to know God better, then let's think about what we actually do about it. What did David actually do about it? There's an old proverb that says, wishing never fills a sack. And in verse 4, one thing I asked of the Lord, some of the other translations say one thing I desired, just wanting to know God isn't enough. Wanting to know God will lead to certain attitudes and actions. And the most obvious thing, I suppose, is there in this translation of verse 4, one thing I asked of the Lord. We need to ask him. Prayer is absolutely essential for being with God, for getting to know him, spending time with him, asking his help. And the specific thing that David asks for in verse 4 is for this one desire, to be with God, to live in his house, and to seek his face, to inquire in his temple. And so later on, there is his prayer in verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. So it's a prayer to God, crying aloud for help and asking for his help in getting to know him. As David writes this, he really wants God to hear his prayer. When we pray, do we really want God to hear us? Well, yes, of course we do. The Pharisees, Jesus criticized, they didn't care whether God heard or not. They cared about whether people heard their prayer. And I guess sometimes when we're praying aloud in house group or first priority or with other people, we're thinking more about other people hearing our prayer. But if we have this single-minded desire to know God that David had, then our real concern will be for God to hear us when we pray. And he says, hear me when I cry aloud. And I guess David was on his own when he was crying aloud. Sometimes I pray out loud when I'm on my own. I think sometimes it can help to clarify and make sure I actually do put things into words rather than just thinking in a vague way and then my mind drifting off. But actually to put it in words and pray aloud is very helpful. I don't know whether you've ever tried that when you're praying on your own and nobody else can hear. But why not try praying aloud and telling God what you really want to say to him, what you want to ask him. And it means getting to know God, to inquire in his temple, to find out from God. How are we going to get to know God better and learn what he wants? Well, reading the Bible. Reading the Bible with the attitude that we want to hear from him and to know him better. How important is reading the Bible to you? One of the things that I find surprising repeatedly in doing the Strengthen Your Faith program, meeting with members of the church individually, and many of you have done this already and you fill in a little questionnaire ahead of it to help us think about what we're going to focus on in the time of talking for encouragement. And one of the questions is, do you have any issues to do with praying or reading the Bible? And so many people say, no problem at all with praying, it's reading the Bible that I find difficult. And I often find that surprising, because for me, I find praying more difficult than I find reading the Bible. But a regular discipline, not just of prayer, but of hearing from God, reading the Bible, is how we will get to know him better and see his face. So if you're on the train every day going to work, why not spend a chunk of that hour reading a bit of the Bible? A regular time of a discipline that just becomes routine and becomes habit has so much value for us in the long-term building of our relationship and our knowledge of God. John was saying this morning in his sermon about growing old that one of the advantages of being retired is he doesn't have to get on the train every day anymore, so he has more time for thinking about Jesus and reading the Bible. But even when life is busy, let's have in our routines. And if you have that hour where you're on a train, that seems to make some time where it's possible to have a daily number of minutes reading the Bible and praying. What else does it mean for David? Well, sacrifices are there, aren't they? In verse 6, I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And we can't repeat the sacrifice that is the guilt offering or sin offering that's been fulfilled in Jesus once for all. But the sacrifices of thanksgiving are something that in a new covenant relationship with God, we are to make a sacrifice to God, which is, those who were on cert this week will know from the memory verse from Romans 12, verse 1, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. Offering our whole selves to live for him is the sacrifice that we can make for him. And it's with shouts of joy and singing. So when we come together, one of the really important things we do together is singing with joy, celebrating God's love and singing his praises. And so there it is at the end of verse 6, as David making these thank offerings, sacrifices with shouts of joy, I will sing and make melody to the Lord. So will this single-mindedness about wanting to know God make a difference to our lives in the way we pray, the way we read the Bible, in what we offer to God in giving him our whole life, and the way we sing and praise him? There's going to be opportunity to think quietly and talk to God quietly about that as we go on. Andrew.